Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
And the week in Washington opens with the threat of another government shutdown. Lawmakers have until Friday to come up with a plan for border security that the president will sign. Those talks broke down yesterday when Democrats called for a cap on the number of migrants in government detention. And, of course, there's the ongoing debate over money for the president's wall. Tonight, he goes to El Paso, Texas, to make his case in a campaign rally. A potential 2020 rival, Beto O'Rourke, will be counter-rallying with El Paso residents. And speaking of 2020, two Democratic women formally entered the race over the weekend. NPR lead political editor Domenico Montanaro is here. Hi, Domenico.
Hey there, Robin.
So where are we on the talks with the deadline looming?
Well, the talks did break down over the weekend, but they are back to the table this afternoon, and we're going to see if they can agree, as you noted, on this issue of detention beds. And that really isn't just about the number of beds. What that has to do is Democrats trying to limit Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, from being able to target whomever they want within the country, and would rather they focus on criminals or immigrants in the country who have caused problems within communities, and for ICE to focus on them rather than everyone at large.
Well, and then there's the other issue of the wall. And this trip the president is making, it's being called the first campaign rally of 2019 for him. But rallying also for the wall, you know, he's been saying that El Paso was transformed from a terribly violent, dangerous city to a safe one because of the wall. Everyone from the city's mayor to local police to FBI statistics and other facts saying otherwise. Why is he wading right into town with such an inaccuracy?
Well, this is something that he's trying to make a point on and be able to tell people who may not know what the border is like or may not know what El Paso is like, to then say that this is something that was real, that there was violence in El Paso. Now, there was plenty of violence in Ciudad Juarez, which is across the border in Mexico from El Paso, but not in El Paso. And that's what people there will tell you. And the fact of the matter is El Paso has fencing. I was there with President Obama in 2011 when he was making the case for a border wall. And there's a double fence. I mean, there's a huge fence. There's a, a bit of a river, and then there's another fence. So it's not like it's a open borders place. It's far from it at all.
Right, but in fact, some of the statistics, and we speak about this elsewhere today, but some of the statistics show that after that fencing went up in 2010, actually crime did go up a little bit. So it's not clear what it's doing. But meanwhile, do you think he will declare an emergency to get his wall built?
Well, there are three options with the shutdown negotiations. There's the possibility of a deal, which still could come. I mean, you have Democrats still saying that they could give some money now on fencing and on fencing fixes, something that they've actually been saying for quite some time but has been overshadowed by the president's talk of how much money he wants for that. We could have a continuing resolution, another one that Democrats and Republicans try to come to not let the government shut down. It's a question of whether or not President Trump would sign that or if Democrats and Republicans could get to something like that. I mean, you could see what they've done in the past is do something like a 3-day continuing resolution, which would indicate that they have the bones of a deal, but they need some more time to work it out. Or the president could declare a national emergency, or we could head into a shutdown. So technically four options.
Yeah, well, there you go. But meanwhile, we want to make sure we touch on two U.S. senators announcing their 2020 bids for the White House, Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts, Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota. Klobuchar made her announcement covered with snow in Minneapolis, emphasizing her grit and pragmatism. Warren, you know, took aim directly at President Trump, who has been mocking her, called for systematic economic change. She said that President Trump might not even be here in 2020. He might be in jail. What do you make of the different messages?
Well, Amy Klobuchar's advantage is her geography. You know, she's in Minnesota, a state that President Trump lost by only about a point and a half. But Amy Klobuchar in 2018 was reelected with more than 60% of the vote. So she likes to make this argument. She's gone to all 87 counties in Minnesota every year. It's an annual trip that she makes. And that she believes that Democrats need to try to win over rural voters with the message that Democrats have. She stood in front of a bridge. Remember that I-35 bridge collapse as a sign to say that Democrats also need to try to find bridges with Republicans to try to work with them. Now, the question is whether or not the base really wants that. Do they want a pragmatist who may be progressive but is willing to sort of hear out the other side? Or do they want more of a pugilist like Elizabeth Warren? And you can count up the couple dozen times Elizabeth Warren used the word fighter in her speech.
Yeah. NPR lead political editor Domenico Montanaro, thank you so much.
You're so welcome.